Hello, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. I am doing a series right now called Le Fils Joie, and I'm featuring many biographies on this channel. I hope to do a lot of different things. I have some videos on travel in Quebec right now that you can have a look at. I did the Chemin Joie. I am probably going to do one of the routes in the Eastern Town series shortly. And I also have a little bit of genealogy in there as well, so have a look at that. But by and large, right now, I'm focusing my attention on the Fils Joie and kind of zeroing in on them. Each week, I feature one or two profiles of these amazing women. And you know, want to encourage you to, if this is your first time coming aboard, encourage you to write and tell me which Fils Joie you'd like me to do. And also on, I just did on my website, Have Roots, Will Travel, an index. So you can have a look at that to see what I've done prior. So that's important to note as well. And always know that I love it when you subscribe, of course, and click on that notifications alert. And also make sure that if you want to write to me, you post a comment below or write to me at lisa@haveroots.willtravel.com, and I'm on Facebook as well. So with that being said, let's get started. Regular viewers know that I have a video entitled Le Fils Joie, the Program 2.0, which kind of lists all of the information about the program, when it was started, how it was formed, all of that good stuff. Gives you a really good background of what you need to know in terms of your ancestors' journey here. Have a look at that. It's on my website. On the YouTube channel. So with that being said, let's get to know the Fils Joie we are featuring. So Catherine Moitié is part two of our study of the Moitié sisters. She's also a viewer request, but when I looked at my files, I saw that one of my oldest and dearest friends from elementary school and high school in particular, that was her ancestry too. So she's going to be getting a little surprise from me to say, hey, this is you. Let's get to know Catherine a little bit better, okay? So Catherine was born June 14, 1649. So she's the younger of the Moitié sisters. She was also born in Saint-Barthélemy Parish, the church that you can see listed or pictured on your left. In La Rochelle, which is the top portion, and then the map where I've circled where La Rochelle is, you can see that it truly is on the border, on the Atlantic Ocean. And her parents were Jacques Moitié and Françoise Langeré. Jacques was a master woolen manufacturer. He was also a court officer and a sergent royal, a royal sergeant. So, you know, she came from some degree I would say noblesse or probably not nobility, but definitely upper middle class. Let's talk a little bit about La Rochelle. It was founded during the 10th century and became an important harbor in the 12th. Until the 15th century, La Rochelle was to be the largest French harbor on the Atlantic coast, dealing mainly in wine, salt, and cheese. And I say this every time, the good stuff. The name La Rochelle was first recorded in 961 as a Rupella, from a Latin diminutive meaning little rock. La Rochelle has one of the oldest histories of all the towns of France. From its beginnings as an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry Plantagenet in 1152, who became King of England in 1154, thus putting La Rochelle under Plantagenet rule until Louis VIII captured it in the 1224 siege of La Rochelle. During the British control of the city in 1185, French Henry had the Vauchère Castle built, the remains of which are still visible in the Place de Verdun. From 1568 on, La Rochelle became a center for the Huguenots. It was in La Rochelle that the Protestant revolts occurred and created the uprising that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle. Throughout the 1600s, the Huguenots were expelled from La Rochelle and would make their way to New France, in many respects, and convert, or alternatively to America. Some of you may have, you may not know that you have Huguenot ancestry because, for example, in New York, there's a city called La Rochelle, and guess who founded it? So that's what I mean. The links are there. It's just a question of figuring out what the names are and that sort of thing. So very, very fascinating place to come from. After her parents' death, Marguerite and Catherine would embark on the Phoenix de Flagange. On June 30th, 1663, they would arrive in Quebec City, the first group of filles du roi ever. And so they were the pioneers of the pioneers. I find Catherine's history really interesting because she didn't marry right away, but ultimately she found work as a house servant with Charles Lemoine and his family. And a funny thing happened. Catherine would meet her future husband, Désir, working right alongside her. I was just captivated by this story. I thought of the employees at Downton Abbey. I know I'm so romantic, but you can actually see them in the two sentences. They were there, and she was just working her way, you know, doing her thing. So love, love, love that story. So let's get to know the groom that she selects and who selects her. His name is Désir Vigée. Désir means, obviously, desire. And he was born in 1645 in the parish of Saint-Sauveur in Rouen, Normandy. His parents were Nicolas Vigée and Robin Lessard. Now, the parish of Saint-Sauveur, the church no longer exists, but from the history that we've been able to gather, William the Conqueror was actually, you know, at this place. Just amazing, amazing history. And it was there. It was destroyed in 1225, rebuilt, and Rouen is the place where Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. And obviously this church would have existed at that time. Now Rouen is, you know, is a city on the, it's on the River Seine, and it's the capital of the region of Normandy. And it really has an amazing historical, you know, story. And at one time was the largest city in medieval Europe. It played a prominent role in both English and French histories from about the 11th to the 15th century. Rouen is a city of cultural and educational significance. The Museum of Fine Arts, the Rouen Cathedral is here. The University of Rouen at Normandy is extraordinarily prestigious. And it was from this place that the Statue of Liberty sailed in June of 1885, L'Armada. And L'Armada is held at, like about 100 years later. They decided to commemorate this, and it has been going on every 4 to 6 years since that time, where they have a big festival. And the next one is going to be June of 2023, and each Armada has a theme. The next one will be the Armada of Liberty. So very, very interesting. On September 19, 1667, Catherine and Désir were married in Montreal. So really, really, this is the actual marriage record, and this is the church around where they would have been married. So the family settles first at Longueuil. You can see Longueuil in the middle of your screen, the map. I mean, it looks like it's really far away. It is not far away from Montreal. It is just off island, if you will. And then we have a picture of Longueuil. We also have or Charles Lemoine, actually. And then we have a picture of the cathedral that was ultimately built. This house on the bottom of your screen is one of the oldest from that era, 17th century a little bit. And then of course in the middle is the current day Longueuil, which you can see really is crossing or really next to the St. Lawrence. So, and as a person who was born and bred in Drummondville, Quebec, Drummondville you know, when you're going up the 20, you are the Route 20, you're definitely going by Longueuil. So I know Longueuil. It really is a stopping point in terms of many things, and there's transport there and all of that sort of thing. So it really is a kind of a hub. So that's where the family started. Where did they end up? By 1675, the family then moves to Boucherville, which is this kind of like on the other side of the island, on the other side of the St. Lawrence. And, you know, it's in the ballpark, but it is still moving further away from Montreal, if you will. Boucherville was founded as a seigneurial parish in 1667 by Pierre Boucher, for whom the city was later named. Pierre Boucher came from Normandy, and having, you know, he was just, as we all know, Pierre Boucher was a very big deal in Quebec. And having lived in Quebec City and through Trois-Rivières, Boucher moved to the Percé Island by the southern shores of St. Lawrence River, where he founded Boucherville. The first Catholic church of the village of Boucherville was built in 1670. This church, made of wood, was eventually replaced in 1712 by a building made of brick. It was then replaced in 1801 by the current Saint-Famille Church. Several families left Boucherville to found the communities of Saint-Julie and Saint-Bruno-de-Montarville. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, as you explore your family tree, where your family might have gone afterwards. So check that out in your records. Now, let's have a look at the family they created. Catherine and Désir would end up having 10 children. Charles married Françoise Guérite and had 8 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Noël married Joseph Leduc and had one child who did not, unfortunately, make it to adulthood. She then married Jacques Perrineau and had 10 children, 6 of whom made it to adulthood. Jacques married Marie-Françoise César and had 10 children, 6 of whom made it to adulthood. Catherine married Daniel Poirier and had 10 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Françoise married Jean Bourget, but did not have any children. Madeleine died at 3 years of age. François married Françoise Lamour and had 5 children, all 5 of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Madeleine married Pierre Laporte and had 2 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Louis married a French girl in New Orleans who was part of what is known as the Basket Girls. All we know is that she became a widow and had 4 children. Upon her second marriage, this is when it was listed. So this is a case where DNA will be amazing to link these unknown children to the remainder of the family. Maurice would end up dying a few days after birth. Désir would pass away March 5th, 1688, at the heartbreaking age of 42. This meant that Catherine would be a widow with 8 children, ranging in age from 20 years to 3 years of age. And in true New France fashion, one man dies and another arrives. Who came along? Her new husband was named Jean Poirier, dit La Jeunesse, and he was born in 1647. He was also a soldier in the Carignan regiments, and he was from the Dordogne region of France. And now he was previously married to Fille du Roi Marie Langlois and had 10 children. So Jean and Catherine would marry in 1688. The household of Jean and Catherine would include 10 Poirier children and 8 Viger children. They would actually have one child who was born in 1690, but ultimately passed away at birth. So that was a sad note for them. Jean and Catherine were together for a remarkable 34 years before Jean passed away on February 18th, 1722, at a really remarkable age of 75. Catherine would go on and live another 5 years, passing away at 78, which is again amazing during that period. And she would die on October 21st, 1727. They are both buried at Boucherville. Here are some more resources available to you. I really urge you to check out La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which is an excellent association of which I am a member. I'm also the membership chairperson. And even before I was a member, I used this site a lot for just the resources that they have available. And once you become a member, you get the journal and you get a beautiful certificate and all that good stuff. So have a look at that. Also, a recent find has been the Filles du Roi Descendants group on Facebook. You check it out because it really does have a lot of information and just connections that you can make. And then a website that I use consistently is Migration. I've listed all of these addresses on the bottom of the notes page. And the Migration website is like, I call it everything you ever wanted to know about Filles du Roi and their ships and the soldiers. And there's even a part of the Filles à Marie, which I'll be looking at. That'll be my next series. But you got to check this site out. It really is amazing. And now we leave Catherine. But before we leave Catherine, I want to acknowledge her amazing contribution in that poll that, or not the poll, but the analysis, the study that they did in 1729. She is in the top 10 of the ladies who provided a descendancy. By 1729, she had 193 descendants, which is a remarkable feat. And each of her husbands was, you could tell. I mean, she was married to Désir for almost 20 years and then married to Jean for another 34. So, I mean, this is a woman who really, really was a partner and someone who really focused on creating a life for herself. And the fact that she had so many descendants and so many of her people continued her line. It's just an amazing testimony to her strength. And for that, we thank her and we salute her contributions to New France. And with that, I bid you adieu and au revoir until I see you again on episode number 69.